And welcome back, everybody. It's another episode of Benched with Bubba, episode 809, continuing our team-by-team previews for the 2026 fantasy baseball season. We head to Cleveland to talk Guardians baseball, which is Jose Ramirez, and we'll find out who else throughout this show. In order to help me break this down, as a friend of the show that's helped me do this each and every year, I had the pleasure of meeting this gentleman in Las Vegas this past year, him in his shiny silver jacket and all. It was quite impressive. At the auction table, you can find him on Twitter at the Dust Bite. Jake Kolesker, how are we doing, my friend?
I am great, Bubba. Thanks for having me on again to go over this amazing subject, as it always is for fantasy. Cleveland Guardians. Browns are starting a new coaching search again, and everything is just dandy up here in Cleveland.
Yeah, it's just another year in Cleveland. Are you an Ohio State fan also?
You know, not that much. I'm not one of the usual Ohio honks.
Gotcha.
I've had it out for Ohio State most of the time because of them taking Thad Matta from Xavier when I was in college back in the mid 2000s. So gotcha. I follow it, and I'm happy for my friends like last year, but now I'm sad for my friends this year.
Yeah, no, good and bads of the Ohio State, as I like to say. But let's talk Cleveland Guardians baseball, and I'll kick it off with the usual question, and everyone's got different thoughts here. How do you think 2025 went for the Guardians in your eyes?
About as good as you could have expected with how rough the rotation looked and Class A getting suspended partway through the year. And, you know, that comeback for the division was pretty exciting. We knew that was pretty much the season. We weren't expecting even to go to the ALCS like they somehow magically did the year before. So, it's just another year of the Dolans not spending money and some random occurrence biting us in the ass in the end. Class A could have brought us such a haul last year, and for that to happen was pretty devastating because you knew they were probably going to trade him, and just really sucked. No other way to look at it. It's really unfortunate. It screws this team over because our farm system, it's pretty depleted right now. There's a lot of low prospects, but man, We're gonna talk later. There's very little on the horizon coming in ways of prospects and in the higher minors.
I guess on the bright side, it's the AL Central, and somehow you'll always be sticking around because that's how things work.
Yep.
And
every
year you and I talk about it, and it's like, okay, it seems maybe gonna be 500, and then they're always in the race towards the end of the season. It's because that's the division they're in.
We should have been 500 last year. I don't know how the hell they did what they did at the end of the year, but Vogt gave him some MJ's secret sauce at the end of the year and took him to the finish line. But
so maybe there's a chance is what we're trying to get at here. Let's kick it off with the man, the myth, the legend, J-Ram, Jose Ramirez, ADP of 5 over the last 10 drafts in the DCs, 30-44 season, back-to-back 30-40 seasons, which is insane. Hit 280. He's hitting for average, hitting all the categories. Absolute monster. I don't have a ton to say, but you can wax poetically about the probably one of the best, if not the best player to be a Cleveland Guardian.
Yeah. I mean, in my lifetime, for as long as he has. Yeah. I mean, it's arguable, you know, Tomy may have been better. Ramirez may have been better. Bell at his peak, but I mean, nobody's embraced Cleveland like Hosey has and stayed here and continued to be as hardworking and successful as always. I mean, dude's always on the field. Always puts forth effort no matter what's going on, is never a clubhouse problem, is never a media problem, never gets in trouble, just does everything the right way. And, you know, you don't want to lose your draft in the first round by making a big mistake. And it's hard to consider Ramirez even risky still, even though he's, you know, approaching his middle 30s, he's still running plenty and doesn't seem to be slowing down. Really, the only argument against him is lack of RBI and runs compared to other guys that are going in his range, because everything else is spot on. Same good plate skills as always. Doesn't strike out very much, walks almost as much as he strikes out, and delivers, like you said, speed and power from a position that you don't get a lot of speed from. And, you know, he's great. What else can you say?
Yeah, it's not a ton to say, really, with JRM. It's the biggest thing is you hit on it. It's like, okay, he's going to be 34. Eventually, the other shoe's going to drop. But I think you have to keep drafting him as if it's not dropping yet is what it comes down to.
Right. If he was slowing down last year in speed, maybe you'd consider it. But, I mean, he plays so hard even till on you know, a random Tuesday in August. You see him working his tail off regardless.
I guess my question for you, will just to have a little more JRAM discourse, I've had on some other shows, not the previews like this, because we haven't talked Guardians, but so like I said, his ADP's 5. Like, you got the Shohei, you got the Judge. That's one, they're going 1-2. That's just fine. Mm-hmm. But then you got Bobby Witt and Juan Soto, and I honestly think it's a fair discussion based on position where you could say JRAM's 3. Like, I wouldn't really argue much of any decisions here. I just want to get your thoughts on this while we're talking JRAM. Like, do you see a world where you could see him going 3rd overall?
I could see it. I mean, it's happened. It's probably not what I would do. I would probably still go Soto. Just because I think you need so many outfielders, and there are so many platooned outfielders that I feel like I can get a decent enough third baseman that I can, I'd rather take Soto and lock up like a, you know, an elite producer in all categories at that position. But I would take him. I would take Hosey over Witt, though. I think.
Yes.
I think I'd have him 4. But yeah, I think I'd still take Soto 3. But I can't argue with taking Hosey 3.
Yeah, and it makes sense with Soto. It's like we talk about third base being a shallow, or some people talk about third base being shallow. Well, 5 outfielders makes outfield shallow when it comes to the platoon situation. So it's a great point that you're making.
Yeah, and a 15 especially.
Yep, for sure. All right, let's talk Kyle Manzardo. The big man just got engaged, I believe, if we're paying attention out there. He's 25 years old, 27 home runs last year in 142 games, started facing lefties as the season went along, which was nice. He's coming in with an ADP sitting around 233 over the last 10 drafts. Where are we at on Manzardo this year? It looks like platoons might be gone, but can we get like a better batting average? Any thoughts on Manzardo?
I don't see a better batting average coming, really. He did play against a decent amount of lefties, still not all of them. So I would imagine, you know, I would imagine he's going to sit against some still. They love to carry all kinds of random guys on the bench that they throw in there for platoon purposes. Vogt's always going to do that. This team is cheap as hell, so they're always going to have guys on the bench that they want to get ABs because they have to justify keeping them on the roster. I don't know why. Manzardo, he is what he is, and I hate that turn of phrase, but I use it all the time regardless. He's going to be a guy that's going to hit you 250 at best. And if he's playing against more lefties, you know, I don't even know if you can hope for that. But power is scarce when you get late. And first base is, you know, you got a lot of guys like this. So it's not like he's a great option. I don't see him as pushing 35 homers this year yet. I mean, it's in there maybe, but we would have to have another, you know, offensive outburst at Progressive Field this year. We'd have to have some, you know, conspiracy theory wind patterns or something like that, I think, to get there. His hard hit numbers are okay, but he's not a massive masher. I mean, he's a max exit velo 110, 111 guy. He's not hitting the ball hard 50% of the time. So he's probably going to max out at like 28 to 30. And, you know, hey, he's a solid CI, and he's a guy that in a DC, you can still sit on a weekend when he's got a couple lefties coming up. 'Cause even though he might play one of the games, he's probably going to suck anyway. So, yeah, you know, solid CI option. And unfortunately, he's probably like the fourth best offensive player on this team at the very worst. So that tells you how we are this year, but he's fine. He's not a guy I'm targeting. He's not a guy I'm crossing off.
Yeah, I love how you put it. There's a lot of guys like him at first base because there are. He's like Rhys Hoskins, like there's just a long list. That's probably not even the best example. There's so many of them down there after you get past. He's in the Josh Bell range, for crying out loud.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of guys like that. Leadoff hitter, Stephen Kwan, 11 home runs. So at least he had double-digit homers back-to-back seasons, back to 20-plus steals. So we got that going again. Hit 272, played 156 games. So that was good as well. He avoided the injury bug in 2025. So I think we kind of have an idea who Stephen Kwan is at this point. And right now his ADP is going at 165. Is this a profile that you like attacking in drafts?
For me, it's not a guy that I target because I usually like to have a good average base before I get to the 10th, 11th, 12th round. I can see if you're in need of some average help or you're worried about it or whatever. I mean, the plate skills are great. I just, you know, I thought he was going to be a consistent 300 hitter with how little he strikes out. And it's just, you know, the quality of contact is not amazing. So he puts the ball in play a lot and he makes things happen because he's a smart player. But you're, like you said, I think we know who he is now. I think he's a solid 280, 285 with 10, maybe 20. And you hope he gets to 90 runs on this shit team.
I was about to say, he needs to get 90 plus runs.
Yeah. I mean, the RBIs, he's going to have like 50 tops. Yep. I mean, I don't know. He had 56 last year, so maybe 60 tops. But, you know, again, we said outfield is shallower than people expect. So if he's your outfield three and you went heavy power early, you know, it's fine. But again, not a guy. I'm definitely not a guy I would draft in 12s just because of how little upside there is. I mean, there's, I, you know, he's not hitting 20 and going 30 steals. So, you know, he's a 15 team only kind of guy for me.
Agreed. Agreed. Totally agree. Like probably even more so just like a DC play for me for depth at this point.
I hear that. Yep.
Mm-hmm. But good real life ball player. Tough.
I love having him on our team, but fantasy meh.
Chase DeLauder. This is one of those that obviously you as a Guardians fan have sat there year after year going, okay, here we go again. When it's this injury, that injury, still one of their top prospects, hasn't been able to stay healthy. We know this drill. But right now he's healthy. We saw a small cup of coffee at the big league level in the postseason, mm-hmm. and they were willing to play him pretty regularly.
Yeah, they did. They threw him right in there. Yep.
ADP's almost 330 over the last 10 drafts. I'll be honest, if he's healthy at that price, I'm intrigued. Obviously, we don't know that. Were you out of Chase DeLauder? Because all we have to do is kind of hope for the health.
Yeah, I thought I was going to be like all in because, you know, we're way out on me and my guys are way out on injury risks early, but he's going way later than it matters to really worry about the risk. It's like you said, it's the health. It's been the health for 3+ years. Ever since he's been drafted in 22, it's been health problems, foot problems, like all kinds of lower body stuff. But they brought him right up for the postseason because he was healthy, threw him right in there, no major league experience prior. And, you know, it wasn't great. But the fact that they had the confidence to do that means they're finally to the point where, okay, we got to stop wasting his bullets in AAA. He's ready whenever he can play. I'm fine drafting him where he goes. I'm not going to overinvest because, health risk is pretty strong. So, and even though it's a later pick, you know, round 20, you still can get decent pieces for your team at that point. And you don't want to be overloading yourself with a guy that might just be out from May on and you have to drop. So, but I definitely will have some. I only have a couple so far. I think I did take him in one Gladiator, which, you know,
that's risky.
But yeah. I'm not, I wasn't like overly thrilled with it, but I figured I should have him in one. So don't overinvest. And the power's there. The power's real. He smashes a ball. He's never going to steal a ton, but the quality of contact is very good. Strikeout rate matches the walk rate. Great plate skills, great contact. Just please, God, stay on the field because Lord knows we need that bat in the lineup.
Yeah, no, they do. And I'm rooting for him. Like I said, I've already got a share or two in DCs because that price to me is worth the gamble. And you and I both know how this works. If he plays spring training, looks healthy, starts mashing, things are going to elevate quickly on that one. And then when I see you in Vegas, we're going to have to pay dumb prices to try to get him on our roster. So yeah, I'm excited to see how this one pans out, and hopefully stays healthy for the Guardians. Let's go behind the dish here. Bo Naylor, a guy I've always been very happy, excited about. It's been very disappointing. It started to show signs of life towards the end of last season. Finished with 14 homers, still only at 195. That's atrocious. But like, if you go month by month, there was like signs of, okay, maybe the young players figuring out. I'm trying to be optimistic here, if I can. ADP for Bo, 340 right now, we're last in. So easy catcher two territory, almost catcher three, depending on your draft you're in. What are your thoughts on Bo Naylor? Am I being way too optimistic here?
Here's where the fun stops with this team.
I wasn't going to say it, but yes.
Like you, 2 years ago, I was like, yeah, I mean, this guy's got all the tools. Like, it's got to be there. It's got to happen. And 2 years of utter refuse. And a lot of it comes down to he does not hit the ball hard, and he hits it in the air all the time. You're not going to have a high batting average with that approach. So I don't know if it's ever going to get better. Like the plate skills have been solid, but the quality of contact is just so bad that the average is always going to suffer. And he's kind of stopped running, really. I thought he was going to be an easy, like 12 to 15 steal catcher, and he's really not running anymore. And I don't know if that's because he's been on base so little. You know, he's hitting at the bottom of the lineup, so they don't want to run into outs or anything like that because they couldn't afford it. So maybe that's part of it. He still walks at a decent rate. He's not a bad hitter, plate skill-wise. It's just the quality of contact is so awful. And as long as Hedges is on this team, he's never going to get 450-plus PAs because Hedges is going to play, despite the fact that Hedges' bat is worse than Naylor's. And you know, Hedges is a second manager for this team.
Yeah, he's a manager in the making.
Yeah, he is. And I know they keep bringing him back and they keep paying him like he's the fourth best player on this team. I mean, because God, they gotta want to have him as like Vogt's bench coach the second he retires. Or you know, bullpen coach or whatever, minor league catching coordinator, whatever. You know he's going to be a coach somewhere in this org if they can help it. So they keep, you know, giving him those big contract years. I think it was $6 million last year, $4 million this year. I mean, he brings a lot to the table off the field. We know that. That's why he's there, and he's going to keep playing. So as long as Hedges is here and Naylor's not getting consistent playing time. You said he was kind of looking good at the end of the year. Yeah. He was finally doing some things that made it look like he was going to kind of turn the corner. But I don't know. I guess I got to see early on. Yeah, you know, you're not even considering him unless you're a 15 team, you know, with Fab or DC. So he's a guy you can maybe draft desperately as a C2 and drop easily. But he's not even going that late. Like there are other guys that are going later than him that honestly I think have probably a little bit better shot of being usable, at least for a longer term. I mean, you know, we could see what happens with Harry Ford in Washington. Edgar Caro could play more than half the time, and he will definitely give you batting average, if not anything else. You know, who knows what happens with Kieber Ruiz. Probably, you know, I would probably take a chance on those other guys over Naylor, even just because they're going a little bit later.
Yeah, I've been taking a lot of Kieber Ruiz as catcher threes early. A big fan of what could be there. So I'm with you. I'm curious with Naylor. Like so much optimism one time, it just seems to have disappeared completely.
It's disappointing. Yep.
George Valera, another guy that had some hype train going on behind him. He's going to be 25 this year. Looks like he's going to be the platoon right fielder for the time being in Cleveland. ADP 660, so not too excited there. Not sure what you have on Mr. Valera, who Roster Resource has hitting second right now.
Yeah, that's because that's what they did at the end of the year. You know, if they had their druthers, I don't think that's what they would do. He's a nothing. We have so many of these guys. We've kept them around, these outfielders that are not even quad A players, really. Valera was a huge prospect 3-4 years ago, and it just tanked. so hard. I mean, part of it was health, but it was performance too. At best, he's platooning to start the year. You know, strong side, that's fine. But he's also UT only, so you're not taking him in a 15-team fab league. He's a DC play only, and you're not going to use him unless he pops off. Now, he will get outfield eligibility probably within reasonable amount of time because right field's going to be decently open. We'll have DeLauder in center probably. Who knows what we do with Angel Martinez, Kwan's in left. He would get it, but he's not a guy that you're drafting unless it's way late in the DC and it's a flyer at best. You know, he's your 11th outfielder on the bench.
No, makes sense. I have zero interest in him at this point in time. A guy I'm really actually curious to hear your thoughts on, because I've heard different people have good and bad opinions about CJ Cephas. I look at his profile. I wasn't overly excited when I saw things like 18 homers and 8 steals between the bigs and the minor and triple A and double A last season. Hit for average in the minors, not in the bigs, at 220 over 44 games with the Guardians. His ADP is 461, sorry, over the last 10 drafts. Is this anything that should interest us right now?
I don't see a whole lot of upside. Again, it's another one of these guys that, you know, they're fringy. They're fringy major league players. And, you know, there was hope because he was just something new last year and he has hit for average before. So that's possible. You know, I don't see him as much more than a 10-5 guy, and he's not playing all the time. You know, he's not playing all the time. He's going to be a platoon too. He's another guy they could throw in right. They could throw at first and have Manzardo DH, or, you know, just DH him. But he's not playing every day either. It's going to be pretty empty. You know, that's the story with most of this team. It's anything after DeLauder, you're lucky if you get something. So if you're looking in DCs, I'm honestly going elsewhere than all these lower Guardians guys, because we've seen so much from them already that we kind of know what it is. And there's a lot of upside that's out there that is not on this team I'd rather take.
All right, then I'll throw it out there. I'll throw it out there. You could throw it back. Brian Rocchio at 420. Any interest there?
He plays. But no, that's pretty high. If it was just the playoffs all the time, yeah, Rocchio would be great. That's all he does is hitting the playoffs. And we had hope after last year, and he was playoff Rocchio and killed against the Yankees and against Detroit. And then he fell on his face again and got sent down. I mean, he's very good with the glove, but they've already moved on from him as the shortstop. They've made Gabriel Arias the shortstop. But, you know, God, there's just not a lot there. The bottom of this lineup is crap. Like, him going before the end of a 15-team fab league, that's crazy to me. There's no reason he should be drafted in a fab league at all. He's way end of the DC range for me, and if he's not going there, then that's silly.
All right, then let's just head to the rotation then, because at least there's a couple things here to discuss. Let's start off with Gavin Williams, who we finally got to see some innings out of this past season, 167 and two-thirds innings, 3.06 ERA, obviously probably got a little lucky there, but still pretty darn good, all things considered. Walks were always his issue. The overall production was better down the stretch, but still an up-and-down season, but I think there was some definite promise with Gavin Williams. ADP 150, basically, which I love, honestly. So where are you at in Gavin Williams?
Yeah, you know, there promise. He made good strides. The walk rate got a little better as the year went on. He faced some adversity and pulled through it. And health will always be a concern for me, just because of the velo and because of prior history. But yeah, there's some signs. He's in the range where you want to take a chance on a guy like this some of the time. You do not want to overinvest in a Gavin Williams just because the downside is very heavy. Like you said, the peripherals didn't line up with his ERA last year. That said, you know, he could be a 3-4 pitcher with a 27% strikeout rate. He wasn't that last year, but that's in there. The arsenal's wide enough. The stuff is good enough. The velo's there. he's you know, he's built like a starting pitcher. I mean, dude's a truck. His nickname is Big Rig. He's got that starter's build. He's got the look. He's got the arsenal, like I said, and it's just a matter of consistency with him. And I'm hoping he stays healthy this year, because it's been a while since he's been able to have a workload like last year, and I'm a little worried about it. But yeah, there's promise, and I'm gonna have some. I was not hyped on him last year. I didn't touch him last year, and you know, mixed results on that, because the ERA ended up being good. So I'm gonna make sure I get a little bit, but not too much.
Yeah, no, the increase in innings is probably the biggest concern I have overall with him. But I love any guy that can strike out guys the way he can. I'll figure out ratios later. But if I know I can get strikeouts, obviously I'm not punting ratios, but you know what I'm trying to say there. Give me a guy that can rack up K's. We'll play the ratio game throughout the draft. Hopefully my earlier pitchers are pretty safe in that regard.
If you could get the walk rate down to 9%, I mean, even if it's 9%, that hit right now it's 11, 12. If he gets it to 9, he's got the stuff to be a fourth-round value pitcher. But that's a big if. I mean, he's always been bad with the walks.
Yep, that is very, very true. Let's talk Tanner Bibee, who has been an innings machine each of the last two seasons. ERA a little higher this past year, but still, like, you don't want 4.24 where you're drafting him, but you can live with 4.24 in a weird world. More importantly, my concern is the strikeout drop this past season. That's the one I was looking at with him, because we know looking at Bibee, it's a pitch mix thing. A couple of his pitches is extremely hittable, a couple very good. Which ones he usually uses the ones that are hittable. That's the problem with Tanner Bibee. But an ADP of 177, so it's dropped compared to last season. It's like, doesn't have me going all in, but it has me at least being like, okay, I could see myself going back in on Tanner Bibee. Where are you at on Mr. Bibee?
Yeah, there's the key there. The ADP has dropped considerably. Now, last year he was your SP2, maybe SP3. This year he's probably your SP4 or maybe a back-end SP3. And I like that. Fastball is trash. I mean, his four-seam is butt cheeks. But he's starting to use it less, finally. He's gradually diminishing that and mixing in his other pitches more. He has a very wide arsenal, and everything else is solid. You said the strikeouts were dipping last year, and that was concerning. But there were signs towards the end of the year that things were improving. He used the four-seam below 30% pretty much the majority of last year, and that's the key. Just keep lowering that four-seam, because everything else is pretty good. His change has been pretty solid. Cutter's been okay. He's got 5-6 pitches that he can mix in. So if he just continues to have confidence in himself and keep the ball lower, I think he was always trying to stay high. He doesn't have the kind of fastball to be high in the zone and be successful. And he's got so much stuff that can play low in the zone. And just keep having confidence in your other stuff and keep doing what was working at the end of last year. I've got some already. I can tell you now I'm going to have a lot more, just because the price is so good. And we know he's got the makeup mentally to get through all of these struggles, because he's faced them and started improving last year. He's had a couple good seasons in the majors before that. So I'm liking the price, and I'm liking the possibility of him regaining some of that past value that we thought he had.
Yeah, I'm 100% with you. I was all in on him in previous seasons. Kind of got dampered. This new ADP looks really, really nice. Slade Ciccone, this was kind of a good, bad year. I thought it was pretty good, all things considered, but I'll never forget Stephen Vogt leaving him out there and just hanging him out to dry in one start, where he was looked like 7 shutout innings, just looked like an absolute G out there. And then next thing you know, he gets the complete game, and they give him like 7 earned runs.
Yeah, it was something.
It was absolutely just crushed me. So bad. Still got 132 innings, which is good. 20% K rate, not bad either. Definitely a middle to end of the rotation guy. But right now, you get him at an ADP of 417.
Right.
That's pretty sweet.
Yeah, he's late. He's a dog, like you said. He looks like an intense dude out there. I love watching him pitch. I don't know. His makeup is just really cool when you watch him. The stuff is average, but he's got enough pitches and mixes them up well enough. And he could be, you know, a mid-round starting pitcher for you. He's never going to be a high-end guy, but he looks like a dude that's going to give you innings and give you at least quality innings. Not great ones. Some days he'll be dominant. Other days he's going to get hit. He doesn't walk the yard, though. He's got good control and just a fun guy to watch pitch. And he's going to be a guy that you mix in and sit probably a third of the time. But you got to have tons of pitching, and you're going to rotate through it in 15-team leagues especially. So he's a good guy to have on the bench because you know at least he's going to give you a solid effort out there. And and he's not going to get yanked early like so many other young pitchers because Vogt has trusted him quite a bit. And I think he's in it for the long haul now, rotation-wise.
Yep, totally with you there. Let's talk Joey Cantillo. I know it's a guy that myself, I think your buddy Dr. Dave and others were excited about last year. And he didn't really get his chance to shine until later in the season in the rotation. Ended up pitching 95 innings, really good ratios. Strikeouts were very solid, 27% K rate. Now, remember, there's relief innings factored in there. Mm-hmm. Looks like he's back in the rotation this year, but we thought that last year. So this is one part where I really need your local help with. ADP's 274, so he better be in the rotation at that point.
Right.
What are your thoughts on Cantillo?
Yeah, early industry darling, that's for sure. He is a wide awake sleeper and has been since draft season pretty much wide started. Awake
sleeper. I love that.
Yeah. I would have, God, you know, I haven't heard a whole lot, but the way he was finally being used at the end of the last year, you got to expect that they're going to start with him. I mean, they're not going to keep Logan Allen in over him. The strikeout potential is much better than anything else we got behind him. Not a guy that's going to give you length. That's the only thing I'm worried about because he's another one that struggled with walks and always has, like throughout his minor league career. That's been his issue. Changeup is filthy. He has a devastating lefty changeup, and strikeouts will be there. It's just I don't think he's ever going to be a consistent 6+ guy. Vogt didn't use him that way last year when he started. You know, who knows, could develop if he gets his control under control. But he's another one like Gavin. If he's got his walk rate down below 9 as a starter, then, you know, all bets are off. He could be a legitimate SP3 for you. Now you're drafting him in the SP6 range. It's a gamble, but I think it's a good one because the potential for him to pay off that is pretty high. And it's not cost prohibitive. I mean, there's plenty of other pitchers that you're going to draft that are also going to be usable and pick up off the waiver wire. So he's not a guy that you're going to necessarily count on to be a full season producer for you for as late as you're getting him.
No, that makes a ton of sense. And love the price. Let's hope it pans out there. Roster Resource has Logan Allen at 5, whatever. It could be him. Parker Messick is a guy that people like a lot of ADP around 301. Where do you see the fifth spot shaking out potentially?
Yeah, I like Messick more. Not that Messick is anything amazing either. You know, I think I was a little smitten with him early, and I kind of wise up to him being a little less than I thought. That said, he's better than Logan Allen, and I hope they don't do the, well, Logan Allen is reliable and he takes the ball every fifth day thing and start with him. But they very well could, and Vogt values reliability, so it could be Logan Allen. That said, Messick looked really good at the end of last year. Despite his limitations, he's another lefty that has good enough stuff to succeed. So, you know, with good catching and good coaching and a team that at least has a very strong view of what makes pitchers successful, I think they can make him into something. His ERA estimators were all good for what he did last year. And he was always like this in the minors. Like, he was a very consistent, decent walk rate, pretty good strikeout rate, lefty with low velo, and all the peripherals, all the Sierras and XFIPs, everything balanced out with what he was doing. So he's had seasons of high 20s strikeout rates. So it's in there. I don't know if that's ever going to happen in the majors, because he doesn't have any like knockout strikeout pitch, but lefties have success with lesser stuff. And we've seen that time and time again. So, you know, I'm okay taking a shot on him, because he's going high enough for a guy that, well, I'm sorry, I've kind of like moved on to Messick all of a sudden.
That's fine. I want you guys. I said pick between the two. It's fine.
I don't give a shit about Logan Allen. Like, I'm not. He's not a fantasy starter. Messick could be. Logan Allen is never going to strike out 25%+.
No.
Messick could. So he would be the guy I'd take the chance on. Again, they're going late enough that, you know, you can gamble on it. And if it doesn't work out, fine. But I think Messick showed that he belongs. It's just a matter of, are they going to let Logan Allen have the first shot? Or hell, you know, who knows? They might keep Messick and Allen over Cantillo. I don't know. We finally have an embarrassment of riches in terms of left-handers. Like, we never had left-handers in our rotation. It was righties all over the place since CC and Cliff Lee were gone. It's been 10 years of righties. And then all of a sudden we have these lefties that are knocking on the door and could be our SP3, and who knows? So at least, you know, it's nice to have pitching options. And that's one thing this team does have is starting pitching and relieving, because we sure as hell don't have bats.
Let's talk about the relieving situation. Cade Smith is a guy that we've always heralded as one of the best setup men in baseball, because he'd never take Class A's job. Well, Class A gave it to him, essentially. Yep. He bet on himself and lost. But Cade Smith, 16 saves. He's always been lights out. I dug into his numbers a long time ago for a relief pitching recap with Bloomfield, and it almost mimics Mason Miller's, like, stat for stat. But everybody drools on Mason Miller. So I'm all, Cade Smith's a top five closer, and it's happened now. People see that now. But I did that, like, right at the end of the season. I know I wasn't alone, but it wasn't a popular thing. My point being, ADP 33. Again, DC ADP, I remind everybody, these relief pitchers go through the roof. That's just how it goes. But just in general, I guess, what are your thoughts on Cade Smith? Because I think he is that dang good.
Oh, yeah. He's a hoss, man. You just watch the dude. And he's an imposing figure. He's got that wipeout split. He's got the fastball velo. He takes the ball anytime Vogt needs him to. God, I hope that doesn't run out soon. I hope he doesn't get worn out, because he and Gattis have been throwing every other day for the last 2 years. But man, there aren't many relievers that are going to have the strikeout numbers that Cade has. And Vogt is just like Tito. He's a loyal guy to his closers. He let Cade Smith go through some big stumbles at the, you know, at the early onset of him taking the job last year, and he made it through. And yeah, sky's the limit. He could be a reliever one. No doubt in my mind. He's going to have a K number over 100 as long as he is healthy for the whole season, and he's going to get you 30 plus saves. I have some of him already. I was trying not to overinvest, because you never want to overinvest in early closers, because if you have too much of one and he dies, then you're fucked. But I have no problem taking Cade ahead of almost every reliever out there. I probably have him as my four, but I'm totally happy getting him at the beginning or middle of the third. I took him in the meatball in the ninth back.
If that is now.
When that was like right after the Class A bullshit happened, and I'm like, fuck, he's done. And I took Cade Smith in the ninth, and you know, it's the only time I'll have that, but at least it looks like I was right on that one.
Yes, that one's pretty solid regardless of
Cade Smith closer two. That's pretty damn good in a 15.
Very, very good in a 15. With kind of listening to what you were saying there, though, you think Gattis, if God forbid anything happened, Gattis is next man up?
I would think so, just because he's been that guy behind Class A and Smith, and actually he was behind Class A only for a while. It's just Smith is the closer type. Gattis is is a very good, reliable guy, but he has his hiccups. And I don't know. I honestly don't know. Probably he would get the shot first just because he's been there. But honestly, we brought in Sean Armstrong, and he looked every bit the part last year too. I couldn't believe Texas let him walk. Like, with how
I was shocked,
with how awful that bullpen looks, like, what's $5 million to have a guy that at least looked like a closer? You know, I'm thrilled with that addition, because you know, we always seem to churn out bullpen arms, but man, we don't often sign good ones. So I was really happy to bring that in, because we got a lot of bullpen arms coming up, but we also have some dudes that are health questions, and we've gotten a little thin. You know, Class A really, like I said, he screwed us big time. Having to bump everybody up unexpectedly really took a toll on this bullpen, and we're going to need reinforcements. And I love having Armstrong, but yeah probably Gattis first.
Yeah, the Armstrong shocks me. Like, I thought Texas, that was a no-brainer, but they always like to go to battle with some bad battle.
It's weird. And Bochy's gone, and they still did that. I mean, they have dudes in the minors that are just absolute cannons, but they walk like 17% of batters. And, like, you know, you got Tiago, they have Church, and those guys, like, I want to take them, like, in round 49 of a DC. I'm like, oh, yeah, I'll take a stab here. But, God in heaven, the walk rates are just so brutal that I don't even know if they would – I don't know if they'd last 3 days as a closer.
I agree. It's a interesting situation. Texas, once again, for like the third straight season, finds themselves in the back of their bullpen. Before we talk prospects, there's a hitter I forgot to mention that I'm curious about. What are we thinking about David Fry? He had the nose surgery to finish the year, but people love David Fry. I've never been the biggest David Fry guy, because once he lost his catching eligibility, I was like, I'm out. But he's util only at ADP 707.
Yeah. I mean, obviously DC only, but he's a weak side platoon. He has a very clearly defined role when he's healthy. So even, I don't know, you have your few weekends where he's going to face two lefties and you throw him in there for maybe the chance at a homer. I love the dude, but he's never going to be more than a weak side guy that might give you some pop. And like you said, UT only, like, There's better ways to use your roster spot for me.
All righty. With that being said, any prospects to mention for this season? Are we too far away, like you said earlier?
Yeah, we got a lot of low level prospects. We love to draft our middle infielders, our catchers, and our starting pitchers. That's what the Guardians do. We have tons of catchers. It's insane to look at Roster Resource and see how many catchers we have in the minors. It is 11 or 12. And that's nuts. And that's not even counting. We have another one that has only played Dominican, so he's not even on here. There's very little in terms of bats other than a couple speed outfielders. You got Khalil Watson and you got Petey Halpin. But really, I think they're fourth outfielder bench types that are there for speed and defense, really. You know, the big name is Bizana, and number one overall pick from a couple of years ago. And I don't know how long we're going to have to wait, because he hasn't really showed out yet. They're moving him up. I mean, he's been in AAA now. Got a good month and a half in AAA, but it's been kind of meh so far. The average has been kind of poor. The walk rates are great. He's been super passive, though. He's striking out more than you'd want, and he's walking way more than you'd want. So I don't know if he's still getting his bearings or what. I don't know if we're going to see. People are taking him early enough in DCs that it's kind of strange to me. I don't have it in front of me. I should. But
I got it. It's ADP. Why isn't this Travis? ADP is 496.
Yeah, I don't, you know, it seems late, but in a DC, bats run out so fast that I would rather take chances on guys that I think are going to be up by May, you know, like a Walker Jenkins or something like that. Dudes that are clearly ready and they just need an opening, or they need a team to give up on somebody who's shitty, as in the case of the Twins. Yeah, Bezena, I mean, we do have shitty middle infielders, that's for sure. But
say, we named quite a few.
I mean, they could rush him up, but even if they do, I don't have high hopes right away. I think he's a guy that's going to need to gain some experience first, so yeah. I would go elsewhere. We do have another middle infield prospect who's pretty interesting. I mean, we have Angel Ganao, and he looks really fun, but I think he's still a little young. He's only played in Double A, but he's got a pretty nice batting profile for fantasy if they ever decide to rush him up. I don't see that happening, though. We don't do that. And we are very loyal to those prospects we've brought up, and they've sucked over and over again, like a Rocchio. So, but keep that name on your list, Angel Ganao. I mean, he looks pretty interesting. He's got a decent little pop speed combo. Juan Brito was a guy that I thought would have a chance to win the second base job last year. He's another guy. We got him from Colorado for Nolan Jones a couple years ago, and I thought they were going to give him the job. But he and Gabby Arias both sucked in spring last year, so they just gave it to Arias because he had the MLB experience. And then Brito got hurt like midway through May, and he was out the whole season. So I don't know if they're even going to bother with him. He's still on the 40, though, so he could be a guy that they bring up if one of the two middle infielders goes down. That's probably the guy they would bring up first. But, you know, it remains to be seen if he had the skills that he was showing a couple years ago. He's got to come back and show it again, because last year he wasn't doing so hot before he got hurt. I think that's pretty much it. That's definitely it in terms of bats. Like, there's nothing else in terms of bats. Nolan Jones sucks. He's still around, but he has no options, and I can't imagine them keeping him. He's probably going to be jettisoned.
He's got to be.
You know, we have some other pitching prospects like Austin Peterson, Doug Nicasi. They're just kind of their depth pieces for the most part. They're both 26 and they've been around a while. So they're both college arms that have taken a long time to develop. Daniel Espino is always the other ongoing injury issue that we should have traded years ago when his shoulder was healthy, and he's blown it out, and he's a reliever. Like, there's no way they gotta stop bothering with him as a starter, because he just can't stay healthy. So that's about it. There's some options, but they're not great ones, or the great ones are pretty far away for the most part.
Sounds like the Guardians in a nutshell.
Yep.
With all of that, then, all the great stuff they have coming up this year, what are your expectations for the 2026 season? Because as much as we want to downplay things, like, they're going to find their way in the mix by the time the season's over.
Oh, Bubba, they're signing Kyle Tucker to that 10-year, $425 million deal, man. I'm ready. I got my Tucker jersey on order already.
Beautiful.
Nah, we ain't. I mean, we're that same middling team that could win the Central that we've always been, because the bottom of our lineup is total dog refuse, and Dolan's never going to sign anybody because he sucks. So, yay. I love being a Guardians fan.
Yes, yes. Always.
At least
always,
they play hard.
They play hard, and you got Jay Ram to root for. We got Hosey. A few more years, which is always good.
And that's why I got fantasy.
Amen to that. But all right, we'll wrap it up there, my friend. As always, appreciate you joining me. Remind everybody where they can find you, if what else is happening in your world.
Thanks, Bubba. I appreciate you having me on again. I like doing this. You can find me at The Dust Mite on Twitter. And I haven't told Dave yet, but, you know, I've been on with you. I've been on with Eric Halterman on RotoWire, and I've got the itch again. So we're going to get started here shortly. I got to find a way to break it to him that he's not going to, like, have a heart attack, because he's been waiting for it for so long.
Yeah, every time I hear him on anything, you can tell he's chomping at the bit.
Yeah, so, yeah. Justin kind of ditched FWFB for a while. Dave's got no outlet, so he still hangs around on Twitter and tries. But
I love it. Well, I'll have to check that out when you're back up and at him, and I'll look forward to that. And if anything else, I will see you in Vegas in a
Thanks,
couple
man.
Months.
Yeah, and you'll be doing your first auction, babe. Let's go.
Yep, can't wait. Looking forward to it.
I'm looking forward to watching you.
All right. With that being said, everybody, Thanks again, Jake, for joining me. We'll look forward to doing that and seeing you then. And for everybody, this is Bench with Bubba, episode 809, your 2026 Cleveland Guardians preview. Catch you all next time.